Imagine having all, guess all, of your learning challenges solved. With Docebo's Learning Suite, an AI-powered LMS built for enterprise, you can tackle any challenge. You can easily create and manage content, deliver training, and measure the business impact of your programs. Docebo is built for customers, partners, and employees alike, with dozens of integrations to embed directly in the flow of work. Check out Docebo today at docebo.com. Welcome to C-Lab, the customer education laboratory where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and the bad advice, all that bad advice that stops growth dead in its tracks. Special episode today. Again, I'm your host, Dave Darrington. We have Sam here. Sam?
That's right. I'm Samantha Murray, Senior Director of Go-to-Market at Docebo.
Phenomenal. I'm super excited about this one in particular, and to frame it up for the day, as I always like to do. Oh, we're not going to do that yet. International Day of. It's our let's take a breath and let's think about the days of the year. And today we have a list of them. You want to read off what the list was for today's day of the year?
Yeah, I mean, some of them were less exciting than others. It's Men's Grooming Day, apparently.
Okay, well, I worked on that, so.
Gold Cup Parade. What is that? This one's kind of fun. National Rum Day, so maybe we have a drink.
It's Friday. Cheers.
It is Friday, so cheers to that. Rum Day. Right, next one, Kool-Aid Day. Dave?
Oh, wait. I don't know if you hear that. That takes me back. Kool-Aid Day.
When he crashes through the, oh yeah. And my favorite one personally, National Tell a Joke Day. And because I'm a huge nerd, I prepared a joke for the audience.
Oh my God.
All right. Are you ready for this? Are you ready?
No.
Why did the instructional designer bring a ladder to work?
Oh my God. I don't know why.
To elevate the learning experience.
Oh, that's a dad joke.
I had to do it. I had to, you know, I had to.
Oh my gosh. That's great. Okay, Sam, I think we've established the chill, ready to go. So now the frame up, this is a discussion that you and I've wanted to have for a while. And let me frame it up by saying, look, some of us have been working in this field for a while, right? For me, I go back to 2015 when I jumped into Gainsight and I started learning about how do we do education in our industry. And since that time, I took a kind of a journey like you did, like Adam did and others. We've gone to different places. We've had multiple at-bats. And what I mean by that is that, you know, at least for me, I think there's this push-pull of, you know, you want to be in a career and be there for a while. But in our kind of field, we move around more. And people like you and me and others want to learn. So I know I've intentionally been going to multiple places to see what they're like and see what's different, see what's the same, see trends. We can't have just one experience, right? So this is a really neat episode. And I want you to lead with the title that you propose, which is what?
Boomeranging Back to Customer Education.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's been my journey, right? Like having been a leader in customer ed a while back now. I left Shopify back in 2022, so it's been a minute. Mm-hmm. And now I'm back to leading our customer education team among a few other functions, which we'll get into in this conversation, but back to leading customer education. And it feels like coming home in a lot of ways. So I'm super excited to dig into this.
Yeah. And that's cool because one of those threads, when you say, I feel like I'm coming home or I'm back to coming home, you know, I don't know if you ever feel this, but I do. I feel like I've been called, you know, called to the profession, not kind of a spiritual thing, maybe, but it's something where I found my inner teacher and I enjoy doing this. Yes. And maybe you feel a little bit like that as well.
100%. I feel that way. I it speaks to one of my biggest passions in life, which is like growing people. That's what I'm most passionate about. It's why I decided to pursue leadership. It's why I teach yoga as a side hustle. Yeah. I love growing people. I'm like that with my kids even, right? So the concept of growing humans, of growing people is really, really meaningful to me. And so definitely this path of customer education feels like I get to do that in my day job, which like you can't ask for a better situation than when you get to have your passions meet your day to day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this field that we're working in is kind of in flux. And that's why this is really key important. Today, we're going to go through your journey and, you know, that boomeranging back. Hey, I've done this. I've done this. I've learned these things. We're cross pollinating. We've made mistakes. And here's breaking the fourth wall. Those of you out there who have found your way to this resource and are talking with her friends like Sam and others that we're bringing on, we're doing this for a reason. We want you to avoid the mistakes you've made. We want you to know, hey, we got your back. And a lot of us have done the things that you may be doing and you might not be connected with anybody until now, right? So I think you said something about to get into this before, as we're getting into discussion, Sam, the elephant in the room. Can you just, let's just throw down. Let's bring that elephant up. What is one of the missions that you're on here to really connect with people in this thread?
Yeah. Well, I think as we were talking about right before we jumped on this call, there's some weird stuff happening in the industry, particularly in B2B SaaS right now. And I think folks are finding it maybe a little bit difficult. I know there's been a lot of layoffs in the industry. There's some challenges with regards to finding work in this field. And even companies who are considering cutting entire teams out, cutting community, cutting customer education, cutting advocacy, cutting things that are so integral to the customer experience, particularly in B2B SaaS. And so I think with that in mind, it was important for me to add this layer of like, almost like career inspo, right? Like having been in the role prior, having left the customer education space to pursue other opportunities to expand my field of view as it relates to business and growth intentionally so that I could grow as a leader, so that I could grow in my own career. And then being back in it, I've sort of recognized that, hang on a second, all of these things that I've done over the course of my career are actually interrelated. What might appear to an outsider as, you know, chaos or like a lack of focus or, oh, she's all over the place, she's doing all these things, actually have been very necessary in my own trajectory and my own career growth and have made me a much stronger customer education leader now. And so, I think that's the angle. It's like there's so much out there. There's so many other opportunities and other spaces out there that you can lend your skills and experiences to as a customer ed professional. Explore those because it will end up making you stronger, even if it means it's a little bit of a detour along the way, like I took that detour.
Yeah, I really dig that. I mean, I think my detour happened before I got into this field. So I'd done a lot of different things too. Well, let's start with that. I'd like to kind of facilitate your walk through time here and go back to that, the start, you know, where you started. Now we're moving into your experience in the background. You started in CS. Well, just tell me the story, getting up to where you started at and how you started getting into this field, even kind of jumping aside.
For sure. I love sharing this story because every time I share it with people in the industry, I get so many like, oh, I had a similar experience landing in customer education, because so many of us have come from different fields or different backgrounds. So I started my journey in B2B SaaS at a, you know, tiny little company called Shopify. But in all fairness, they were not that big when I joined. I was hired number, like, I don't know, 836 or something.
Oh, goodness.
Lines,
yeah.
Right.
And it's early.
At the time, they had just IPO'd. It was in late 2015. And at the time, They were just experimenting with launching their enterprise solution, today known as Shopify Plus. And so they were moving folks from these customer support roles, these guru roles, as they called them back in the day, into account management positions to deal with enterprise customers. And I think quickly realized that that wasn't going to cut it for enterprise customers. The types of customers that they wanted to go after, the very sophisticated, large retail businesses, needed additional support. And prior to joining Shopify, I spent the majority of my career bouncing around on the agency side, actually, advertising, web development agencies, all in the realm of marketing. And so when I joined Shopify as an account manager, actually, so it wasn't even called customer success back then.
Oh, cool.
But the role was really all around leveraging all this background expertise that I developed to help grow those enterprise customers, to teach them marketing skills and advertising skills so that they could in turn grow their commerce businesses online. And it was such an incredible experience because I got to work firsthand with some of the biggest brands on Shopify today, back then when they were first starting out, and learn equally from them, right? It wasn't just about me teaching them the things and teaching them the platform and helping them adopt more of Shopify and use all of the features, the capabilities that were available to them, but also learning directly from some of these huge brands how they grew their businesses. And then I would take that and teach it to others and teach it internally. And I started running webinars and I started doing all of these like things because I started recognizing none of this is scalable anymore. You know, we have like hundreds of customers now. This was over the course of like about a 2-year period. And none of the things that we were doing were sustainable. It just didn't make sense for us to continue having these one-on-one conversations. And that was really like the entry point for me into what became customer education. But at the time, I didn't even know what it was called. I was just like, I want to reach more customers. I want to do this at scale. That was it.
This episode is brought to you by Clouseau. Are you tired of spending countless hours producing software videos and writing help documentation for your customers? What you need is Clouseau. Simply upload a rough screen recording of your product. Clouseau will instantly transform it into a studio quality explainer video and a step-by-step how-to article. Clouseau handles all steps of the video production process, from writing your video script to generating a professional AI voiceover. It adds stunning zoom effects, highlights, and branding to your videos too. You can also translate your content into over 30 languages in just one click. And if your videos ever go out of date, there's no need to remake them from scratch. Clouseau makes it super easy to replace outdated clips and voiceovers. 10x your video production speed today at Clouseau.io. That's Clueso.io. Wow. Okay. So that story is profound, and there's echoes and traces of other people's experiences too, where you had a certain gravitas and understanding of this particular market in order to propel you into an account management role. Arguably like a CSM role, we're calling it that. Yep. And then you could translate all of that and help you're learning from them to articulate programs that will help more, which
exactly.
That's a thread I think that is very unique. And it's something I don't think we talk about or expose enough, because in our field, when we get to customer education, it's often an organic evolution. In your moment is, I was at the same thing. I don't want to keep this real short, but I had that same experience in my world. It's, there's something more here. I need to be doing education. Why are we not doing this? And then boom, it exploded. Right? It just, people got it and they go, yes, we need to do this. Now, where are you?
Right. And I think we'll get into this once we start talking a little bit more about my product marketing background, the field that I am now currently also leading at Docebo. But there's such a parallel here with regards to the market research, the customer research, the voice of customer inputs that we take in as product marketers. It's so in my opinion, critical to also do that in customer education. Because if you don't hear directly from the customers what their needs are, what their challenges are, where they're struggling, how do you know with 100% certainty that you're building the right things, that you're offering them the right support, the right experiences, right? So there are so many parallels that I'm excited to dig into.
Okay. Later. I like where you're going, because I think the thing from the experiences that I've, you know, corralled from everybody we talk to in our community, our peers, is that a lot of the times companies make assumptions and they say, okay, I hired an education person. Here's what you need to train, go. And those people, and I've been one of them, didn't have that exposure initially to the client base. And we're just, no, you're the education person, make content. And that's not what customer education is in our definition of it, right?
That's right.
So, okay, well, let's go from there and then take me forward. So now you've gone through this AMCS role.
Yeah.
What happened? Like, where are you now? Is this a formal role they gave you, or did it emerge organically?
I managed to turn it into a formal role. So because I was doing so much of this sort of, again, organic webinars, I was running what I consider now, looking back, as like ILT sessions with some of my own customer base and also the rest of the customer success team at the time, I was able to get a role. Is really just a bit of a fluke, because a role opened up within Shopify Core. So moving away now from enterprise into the rest of Shopify's offerings, a role opened up for a webinars coordinator, essentially webinars manager role. And so I was able to slide into that and sort of build up a program from there, which was really like, onboarding to Shopify. Yeah. So we created like an intro to Shopify webinar. We were running webinars on all of the various additional offerings that existed. So like additional capabilities, marketing, feature sets, fulfillment feature sets, all of that stuff. And at the same time, again, it was all really just this like crazy fluke of circumstances that kept happening. At the same time, the marketing team at Shopify was in the process of launching Shopify Academy, the very first version of our external education platform.
Yeah.
And I started realizing, hang on a second, we're doing a lot of the same things. Like, I'm over here, I'm running these webinars. This is so common in SaaS, especially in fast-growing SaaS orgs. I'm over here running these webinars. They're over here launching this academy, and they also want to run webinars on similar topics. This is not logical. Hang on, you guys. Let's fix this. Let's consolidate. And so that was my first experience of like championing a consolidation, of raising my hand and saying, this is going to lead to a poor customer experience if we have multiple avenues offering the same things. Can we just consolidate? Can I just join your team? And so that's what ended up happening. I joined the Shopify Academy team, which laddered up into marketing at the time under the umbrella of content marketing, and had this incredible opportunity to learn from the other content marketers and the teams that were building the external facing content at the time. And we really just like became this force. It changed. We had like 500,000 monthly active users in the first 6 months of launching Shopify Academy.
Wow.
It was wild, but very much a marketing effort, right? It was less, I would say, customer focused and much more market and industry focused. They were using it as a lead generation strategy. It was really all about demand creation in the entrepreneur community. And so I had this incredible experience that turned into then us deciding we wanted to create our own learning management system. So we joined forces with a product team. I was able to get that off the ground for a while. Pivoted away from that in the last bit of time in my time at Shopify. And then really it was in the last couple of years at Shopify where I really honed in on my customer education craft. I took on the role as global lead of customer education at Shopify across all of our audiences. So that was everything from like the tiny solopreneurs to our enterprise clients. I championed an org-wide consolidation effort and tried to bring all of our customer education programs under one roof, one single academy experience. it was a journey, Dave. Like, holy moly, I learned so much through all of those experiences. But that was really like the parting gift, if you will, to Shopify was like this. We did it. We, you know, all of these years of doing so many things as experiments, just to pull it all together into a single consolidated experience. It was, I knew it was my time to go also because I had achieved the thing that I wanted to.
Right. Okay. An off the cuff response I have to that experience is that why we're having this conversation out loud is because that kind of journey is where a lot of us have come from, that you saw the opportunity that lay in between the lines, right? It's that, and this is where I take an aside to talk to leaders who might be listening to this episode, because this is where what we've discovered, and I really do think like this is a new discovery, what we call customer education or even enablement or all these motions of learning in SaaS, right? Specifically niche down right now. And we're going to talk out of that, is that there is not really any intentionality behind bringing together the threads of education and learning across the entire organization. And I'm not talking about L&D, and I'm not talking about organizational design or whatever. I'm talking about simply the source and the font of all of your learning has to connect to all these different, like you're telling us this effort of consolidation story, which Sam, you did amazing work with that, because that's what has to happen everywhere. Otherwise, your points being, hey, I'm doing this too, you're doing this, why don't we join forces? And because I know more now about Shopify's culture and how they approach and their values, that was welcomed. And now, you know, we know leaders that are there now. I'm like, wow, gosh, you've got a really big, and you're, what? This is cool. Kudos, right?
Thank you. Thank you. And I mean, honestly, like it, and it's not just me, it's a team of people, team. You know, kudos to my old team, shout out to my old incredible team that championed this consolidation effort alongside me. But the reason I have to share, because I know this is a topic that's important in our space, right? It happens all the time. We see it happening all the time. Disjointed customer experiences. We have not only in the realm of the work that we do with like knowledge bases over here and community over here, and we've got, you know, an academy over here and nothing's connected. And then we're also shipping the org chart because a team over there wants to run webinars because everyone's just trying to make an impact, right? Like we're all just in it for the customers. We're all in it for the greater good. We want to have an impact. And so we launch all these things without recognizing that it causes a very fractured customer experience. And not only that, but when you paint the picture of what happens on the inside of the org, the inefficiencies, the redundancies, the duplication of effort, you speak the language of an executive. Like when you can tease out how much money gets lost in productivity because people are doing the same things across an organization, it becomes very easy to gain buy-in. It becomes easy to have that conversation with exec because that's the stuff they care about. They care about team productivity. They care about going fast. They care about minimizing cost. So just a hot tip for anyone who's going through this kind of challenge today.
Yeah. How I want to reflect that back to you and to the audience is this, that journey, that experience that you had is, I mean, we all have our unique personalities. And I know you and I connected at an event last year and we talked about how our brains tend to work and we're that kind of person that you want in that role. But a lot of folks don't, and I'm not going to call it a gift because I know how my brain works and sometimes it's a curse because I'm interested in so many things and I want to talk to so many people and I love working with people and I love challenges and I love hard stuff. And what I'm trying to get to, Sam, is that the story you're telling is that this demands a lot of an individual who finds their way into these kinds of roles. And I want to extend that to other learning roles or learning adjunct roles where now you have a remit, like Adam would say, of that customer experience of learning. And what you talked about with, I've opened up space to speak in the language of my executive leadership. Doesn't mean I'm going to get there right away, but that is a absolute requirement in my mind for any leader that wants to be in this space, that you have to push. You have to say, no, look, here's a great story that I've used in one of the organizations, and I'll get back to on track. Let's talk about CSM and the time that's burned mm-hmm. by having people do duplicative effort. I had a field of CSMs that were like 50, and they all turned out over a time of a year as I'd have a program, and they were no longer looking to referencing or unknowing that my program was here, or they were choosing not to look at it, and they kept doing training. And when I added up all the time, you can actually do the math to show it's millions of dollars if you take that time that you can recoup for each individual CSM who's deciding to do hands-on training with their clients.
Right.
That's just, and you, and the to leadership, you won't see that immediately unless you're looking for that. Because totally. An education leader and a marketing leader together can show you, look, well, let's follow the money. We need to get revenue. Let's go to market all the way. Okay, I'll shut up now. And let's get back to product marketing and go to market now. What was the next step? So now you're out of Shopify and you have this new opportunity.
That's right. So I left Shopify in January of 2022, actually for an opportunity with a very small startup based in Ottawa, where I'm from. I had the opportunity to join this tiny little seed stage startup to head up their marketing and customer success functions to sort of build that from the ground up. And what an experience that was. Look, I learned a lot about performing due diligence with startups prior to joining them. And unfortunately, things did not pan out at this startup. We ran out of funds pretty quickly. And so then I was looking for a new role. And this is where the crossroads happened, right? It was like, okay, I can either stick to what I know and head into customer education or head back into customer education, or I can explore a wider net of opportunities with the intention specifically of increasing my skills in areas that are gaps for me, particularly in marketing and or customer success, right? Roles that I maybe haven't held because I know that I want to be a senior exec. Like, I knew that that was my path. And so what are the gaps that exist in my skill set? What do I need to acquire in terms of knowledge in order to continue growing in that path? And another, you know, fluke and perfect miracle that landed on my lap was this job at Docebo. I was talking about my job search on LinkedIn at the time. I was pretty open and honest about all of the experiences that I'd had at the startup that I joined. And a recruiter reached out to me from Docebo and suggested that I apply for this product marketing role. Actually, at the time, it was called solutions marketing. So that was even more confusing to me. I was like, what the heck is solutions marketing? How is it different than product marketing? It kind of sounds the same. And I'm not a product marketer. Like, I've never done product marketing. So I was very honest about this. I said, look, this is not an area that I've ever done. I have no experience, but I'm willing to have the conversation because I like what you're up to at Docebo. And I think being in the learning tech space could be really valuable for me given all the experiences that I've had. So have the conversation. I mean, the rest is history. I ended up joining the org in that solutions marketing role, very quickly grew into a director of product marketing role. And then since, the scope of my team has really exploded a little, transparently, because the company's growing really quickly because of my background experiences that I've been able to leverage. So now I'm managing the product marketing team. I'm also managing customer marketing and advocacy. I'm managing partner marketing, which is really exciting, and a new field that I'm learning a lot about. And then finally, the last team that got sort of added onto my go-to-market team is customer education and community. And technical writing. So now I have this like very broad scope of essentially, like, forget product marketing and some of those functions for a sec, customer education, community, advocacy. It really is the full spectrum of scaled digital success that we offer on top of our one-to-one experiences through customer success. And so because I have that full purview over the digital experience, the sky's the limit in terms of what we can do. We have really big plans. I'm super excited about what we have planned for 2025 and beyond for our customers. And so it's really allowed me to like, okay, now I'm on the path again of I know exactly right. what I need to be doing. I'm kind of recreating a lot of the same experiences that I championed at Shopify and leveraging all these experiences that I've built over the course of the last 2 years in my detour phase to
detour. I like that. It's cool.
Ensure that I'm offering a top-notch experience for our customers.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot under your purview there.
It's a lot.
Right? But it makes absolute sense. And I question why a lot more organizations don't think this way.
Me too.
I guess you could talk to me about synergies. And I mean, one question that comes up right away is, and I think we're going to get into this, the complementarity of the roles that you've held and that how they all, we're talking digital customer success now. And this is one of my worry points because let's face it, that what I think about customer education is very fragile. It's been around in some phrase or wording for 50 years plus, and it goes under the water every cycle. We go through a recession. It's now I don't need that. And yes, you do. So what I want you to really explore and share with us is that, well, what are those overlaps? Why is it so freaking powerful? And, you know, how you've articulated your programming, like what is the role of a product marketing manager? How does that overlap? Maybe this is too much, but let's talk about this space.
Yeah.
How's this all working together?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's super interesting because when I took on, like in the earlier days when I joined Docebo and I was in that solutions marketing role, the parallels to what I had been doing in the scope of my role at Shopify and customer education, like it's the same. It was largely the same, right? Getting on discovery calls with customers, understanding the challenges that they face as it relates to the platform on offer, and then giving them the tools and resources that they need to unlock value in the product. Now, the main difference, obviously, to anyone who's listening who may be preparing to get out their pitchforks to run after me, you know, I'm pretty vocal about this on LinkedIn. I'm not, you know, I talk about it all the time about the parallels between marketing and customer education. And not everyone loves that. I think people who have a strong background in instructional design and learning theory, those are the folks that like want to pull out the pitchforks at me that are like, that's not marketing. Look, I get it. There are differences between these fields. But what I see as someone who's experienced all of these roles are more parallels than differences. The main difference, right, is that like obviously in customer education, you're creating courses, you're creating instruction, teaching, you're teaching skills. Right? And we're not doing that necessarily in product marketing, but the creation of value-based messaging, understanding the challenges that a customer is trying to overcome and crafting narrative storytelling from that angle, from the value that is derived from a platform, that's what we also do in customer education. You're not teaching, click these buttons, you know, follow this path, click these buttons to and use these features. That's not what we teach. We teach the value that can be derived from using certain things. So to me, it all just felt like the same job. And the reason why I was able to slide into product marketing so easily, I think, is because I had this mentality, because I had this background understanding of customers aren't using features, they're deriving value. They're using capabilities to help accomplish an objective in their business. And if we're not delivering that value or expressing that value or teaching them that value, they're never actually going to adopt the thing. They're never going to click. They're not going to understand it fully, right?
Right. Absolutely agreed. And to ask you the deeper question that you know, going back to the pitchforks things, let me exposition a little bit about it. Having been an instructional designer and working in that field and doing that, I understand the purity of the craft.
Right.
Right. I think that's important to, again, an elephant in the room thing. the thing I love about working with instructional designers is that they know that role, right? They know how to put, assemble things together, get learning outcome. Now, where people will come after me as well with pitchforks is that I say, we don't need all that all the time. Right. What we really need to do is get to an outcome as fast as possible, as clearly as possible, and be able to measure that impact. That's both a marketing initiative and a overall success initiative, right? And one of the things that I'm going to be speaking at your event soon, if this goes out before that, it'd be great. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I'm pursuant of is ROI, value, that the language of business and why I think you've landed where you have and seen, well, others see you and they see the evidence of the work that you've done, which has produced an outcome both on the front end and the tail end. And together that makes this lock, we're in lockstep, right?
Right.
The joy of your platform comes from the people that use it. And unlocking their ability to use that platform, not just in an end user state, but even sharing some of the secret sauce that makes a thing work that we tend to hide and obscure. Now what we're seeing is this push towards, and my jam is, let's get on TikTok and YouTube and all these other platforms. And people are like, no, we're going to give all our stuff away. Yeah, you are. Because your ideas, your competitor is going to get it no matter what. What our job is to care about our customers and really bring them that value, connect to the value, get them an outcome. And if we're not doing that, everything in instructional design is irrelevant. Somebody might never see your content. They might not care. And they'll go figure it out on their own or fail or churn. Right. Sorry, exposition here, but no. I wanted to connect the dots a little bit.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit in our prep for this, but the sensations that I always felt, it was so interesting being in customer education at Shopify. I always felt a little bit like an outcast. Like I felt like an outsider, or like I was, you know, sometimes maybe not totally fitting in with that community because I considered myself a marketer in some ways, right? Uh-huh. And then I felt the exact same way being in marketing circles. I would go to these marketing events and feel, this isn't quite right either. I still feel a little bit like an outcast because actually I'm a customer educator, or I'm a customer success person, or I really truly care about customer experience. And I was never really able to like reconcile that for myself until I landed at Docebo, until I started absorbing more of these teams and started working with my own leaders now in crafting the like mission for our total team. And what's our strategy? What's the thing that we all do together? Why do we all fit and connect together like puzzle pieces? Because we're all doing the same thing. We are driving product adoption. How do we do that? We deliver value-based messaging and we teach them value so that they can get to ROI. It's all the same thing, right? But it's been such a journey for me getting to this point where I'm like, oh, it is all related. And it's what a nice feeling to feel like now I'm creating something new. I didn't belong in marketing. I didn't belong in customer ed. Well, I'm creating something maybe not unique. I hope that this is the evolution of the industry and where we're headed, but by jamming these two things together, we're creating something even stronger, even better, even more powerful.
Yeah. Well, based on that, where do you think this could go? I mean, I'm not beholden. Well, I'd say customer education as a function is a hill to die on for both B and for Adam, right? Because of what can do, but I'm looking way beyond that. And I think I know you are too. Mm-hmm. What do you think this all could, what's your recommendation for businesses and individuals so to continue to push? Because what I have to say to the market is this, if you're listening to this, you know, fourth wall break, it works. What Sam is doing works, everybody. And you can see it in the data. So tell me what you think. Where's the future going?
Yeah, I think there's a few different paths for particularly for customer education leaders and practitioners and teams, right? If I put myself in the shoes of like a CEO kind of, or a C-suite executive trying to decide how to evolve different programs that are on offer in my organization, I think there's a few different paths. One is the path that I've taken, right? Which is like consolidating marketing and customer education crafts into one holistic view, which encompasses you know, customer marketing, advocacy, community, all of these different things that are on offer for the customer. And then also really embedding that into the rest of marketing to ensure that the storytelling, the creation of demand, because that's also evolving. I mean, that's a whole other topic that we could get into around, you know, B2B buying behavior and how things are changing and the need for us to use education as a strategy to drive demand in the practitioner space. These things are all truly interconnected. So by bringing those teams together and by bringing everything under one umbrella, not only are you solving for a lot of duplication and redundancy, you're creating stronger marketers, you're creating stronger customer education teams, and driving a lot more impact for the total business, which I think is where we all want to go as customer education leaders. We all want to have a greater impact on the business. That's one way to do it. The other angle, which I'm seeing more and more of, particularly as I have conversations with our customer base, is the consolidation of customer education into other learning programs, right? You alluded to this, the L&D, yeah. The enablement. I am seeing more and more of that. I think personally, it's a harder avenue to explore because I think L&D specifically, there's still this almost like a protective layer around it, right? It's like, well, when we talk to employees, it's different. It has to be different. Employee training, employee onboarding, it's different. It's this different thing. It's tied into HR. Well, right, it's not actually. Like when you break it down and you consider the basics of, again, the concepts that we're trying to teach, upskilling people in their roles, making people better at their jobs, fundamentally, it's the same thing. And so why not collapse some of those teams together and reduce the duplication of efforts as it relates to content creation, right? Efficiency gains within especially an enterprise org or growing org, that makes a whole lot of sense. It's just what I've observed is it's maybe a bit of a harder avenue to take for customer education folks.
This episode is brought to you by Intellum. You know Intellum, we've had them on the show before. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that customer education leads to retention and revenue. So the Intellum platform gives you everything you need to educate your customers, partners, and employees on the products and services you sell. They've got a great platform. They've got Evolve as an authoring tool. And with Intellum, put it all together, you can deliver highly personalized and engaging learning experiences, give your customers a single destination for all their learning needs, and create and manage a wide range of content. So check them out today at try.intellum.com/CELabs. That's CELABS.
Yeah, I think so too. And as you were talking through that, I think this is a hard problem to solve. The consolidation effort I don't really like the word consolidation in this context. It's more the integration of different right. functions so they work
yeah,
together.
I like that too.
One of the things that a friend of mine just said on a meeting I had the other day, we were just riffing, and she was saying that something about how all of this is absolutely interconnected too, and she sees it. And it's when you talk about L&D type functions, it gets into that compliance and whatever. I don't agree with all that. I think we're a part of a fluid that, for example, I've been reading The Challenger Sale, and I fall into a lot more sales opportunities over the last few years. And someone says, you're really good at this. And I go, I didn't believe you. I worked at Outreach, and I paired with all of these, you know, salespeople, and I learned so much and I gained so much respect. Because in The Challenger Sale, they talk about how much teaching is involved in goods, in closing real deals, because you're working with customers. Say, oh, well, if I can, let me take a moment, Sam, and I want to tell you about what I know of this part of the industry and how these things work. Now, I'm not just saying, hey, I've got a really killer product and blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying, I'm understanding your problem. I'm understanding where I understand the value. So even in that context, sales is also adjunct and integrated into what we're doing. If our sales team doesn't know our platform, if our sales team doesn't know what our value is, they can't sell.
Right.
And that goes to everybody in the company, anybody that's facing a customer, and even anybody that's secondarily influencing a customer, like an enablement team. Why should enablement not partner with the education team who can, they can make canonical content? Well, enablement's wrapping around that. Let's get to this value prop. We should be doing these things. And we don't tell the customers all of this stuff because that's behind the scenes. They don't need to know. They don't care. right? So it's the fluidity of learning and getting that into the fabric of our culture is what I think of.
Yes. Yes. I love that language, like the fabric. You've heard me refer to this before, that I consider learning to be the fabric of an organization. I think when it all clicked for me, it really, all of this on the side of like, you know, internal training and education and enablement functions and the interconnectivity that it has with customer ed, it all clicked for me in the last 6 months when I started thinking more about knowledge management and how, so for Docebo, transparently, that has been something that we've been really focused on addressing within our own organization. We grew very, very quickly, like a lot of SaaS companies. And that always seems to be a bit of an afterthought. The organizational effectiveness piece and the knowledge management piece always seems to be a bit of an afterthought, because when you're growing really quickly and you're in this mode of like, well, we're spinning up new teams, we're spinning up new functions, we're just trying to ship as quickly as possible, you forget that without the knowledge access, right, and the like communication piece of it and the cross-functional collaboration and alignment, like OKR frameworks as an example, all of those things are actually really critical for continued scale. You can only grow so far without some of those structures in place, without the infrastructure that allows you to continue to scale. And this is when it all clicked for me, having conversations with our head of security and our CPO and all these different people in different roles, and kind of realizing, hang on a second, the thing that's been missing for us is access to knowledge. And that's at the end of the day, the same thing that we're trying to do for our customers is give them access to knowledge. We do that in a few different ways. We do it through our knowledge base. We do it through our Docebo University. We do it through the community, our website, a whole bunch of other different platforms. It's all the same stuff. Our internal people need to know the same things. They also need to be equipped with that same knowledge, especially around our product. And then also they need to be equipped with the data and the stories around the accomplishments that we're having and the projects that we're running, right? So then that's when I was like, oh, this all actually is connected. And if I could just work more closely with my enablement team to make sure that we're working on the same things, that we're shipping the same content so that there's the same story. And then the sales team that received that training that was the same as the content that we're putting up to our customers notice that. They notice, right? Because the experience that they have from the first touch point with a BDR through the experience they have through the entire deal, every single conversation they have with a rep, with solutions, is the same experience they're having with our website, with our knowledge base, with our right? So when you think about it and you break it down in that way, it's like it makes you really realize how interconnected everything actually is, despite people thinking that, oh no, internal training is different. It's not. It's not. It's all the same.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't want to muddy what you've said, but I agree with you 100%. We can rant on this for days. I think the lesson learned is that from an executive level, you really do need to look at the fluidity of your knowledge transfer and how that's propagating value to your customers. That if you're thinking about siloing and getting all, like, I think siloing emerges because we're moving so fast and we just get people in place and those people be like, hold on tight. And a lot of them are scared because they might not know everything and not know everybody. And this emergence, this concrescence of understanding about a platform is hard to wrangle. That's what this, totally. That's what we're talking about, really, that some of us are finding the way we want to share that. And out of this needs to emerge a new understanding of how we in SaaS and other fields need to adapt. Because one last thing I will share from friends of mine that were talking about this in the discussion I had before was what's happening now in a generational type of approach. And someone said this to me and I'm like, oh my God, I'd never thought about this before. Well, I did in the back of my mind. Think about a Gen Z or a Gen Alpha that's coming up and the differences that they have about learning. Many of them are not articulating this, and this is not being seen publicly. Many of them don't expect anybody to help them learn. They expect to go find it. Right. And if it's not there, then they give up. They're like, I'm out. So what that means is we have an ultimate responsibility to build that fabric. And it's not an, you know, like enablement, all this kind of stuff to working together, L&D, kids, you know, younger people don't care about that. They're like, I'll learn that on my own. Management skills. If I want to be a manager, I'm going to go figure it out. I'm going to take a course. You don't need to worry about that. You do need to worry about compliance. So I think we can be a lot more across the lines on helping provide the availability and the curation, like a GPS. Customer education to me is like a GPS. It's, I want to go here. Okay. Pull up Google Maps, Apple, whatever. Go here to here. It coaches me. I still have to drive. I still got to do the work. But I need to understand the landmarks and the topology and the directions. And, oh, there's traffic here. I better go around. We're so valuable. You are so valuable to this market, Sam, because, and I want others to find you and talk to you. We're not done yet. I want to do a lightning round, but please reach out to Sam if you want to follow her journey and connect with her, because this is really helpful. You can learn a lot. Anything responding to that? I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent.
No, that's great. For like, I would love to connect with folks who are interested in chatting more about everything that I've shared so far. But maybe just a quick response before we move into lightning round, which I'm already excited about. What you just shared, Dave, for me highlights why I keep honing in on this message of customer education and marketing and the synergies between those two and the need to bring it all together. Because what I see and what you just alluded to, new generations of folks entering the job market may or may not be going to the same education programs that we have had growing up, right? Back in my day.
Stop.
Back in my day, getting a university degree was really important, right? That was like just drilled into our brains. You have to have a university degree. You have to go at least to college, university, whatever, and get a degree. And I think these days, times are changing. Things are different. The availability of information out there is so vast that I can anticipate a shift, right? Like, If academics is a path for you, go to university, absolutely. But more and more, I think we're going to start to see shorter and shorter college programs, certification programs, and more we're going to start to see the need for organizations to offer their own education programs around the jobs and the skills, right? This all relates to the upskilling conversation, this particularly in L&D, but for customer education folks, if you're not thinking about this, if you're not thinking about how you're going to tap into this entire new audience of job seekers who are coming up and needing to get jobs in various industries and who are looking to organizations like ours to learn from, we have a massive opportunity to be the ones that they're learning from, right? I put myself in the shoes of Docebo. I want to offer L&D education. I want to upskill LMS admins. I want to upskill instructional designers. I want to make them better at their jobs. And especially for the newbies coming into the field, there isn't really a lot out there, right? And so by doing that, I know that over the long term, those people will end up in buying roles. And who's the first company that they're going to think about? It's going to be ours, right? It's the HubSpot way. It's the Salesforce way. We've seen a lot of really incredibly powerful organizations follow this methodology to great success. I see that happening more and more and more. I think that's where truly the customer ed space is likely to head. We're going to have to double down on that in future.
Well put. Okay, let's get out the door here. But before we do so, I thought what we'd do is do kind of a lightning round where let's go back to this overlap. And I'll put this on the website because I think this is really important for people to think through on their own and get time to grok. Well, let's talk about the product, the overlap between product marketing managers and customer education roles. So I did a quick, you know, AI search, put some things together. And I thought, let's go through one by one on some of the topics and throw down your response to them because you've got field background in this. So I'll lead this off and talk about, okay, the overlap in content creation and strategy. What Gemini would say is that PMMs, Product marketing managers do develop product messaging, positioning, and go-to-market strategies. Customer education translates those strategies into digestible educational content like webinars. Help, this is what you were saying, right? How do you reflect on that? Is that on point?
Yeah, I do think that's on point. I think the only thing I would add there is like around the product messaging positioning. I think it depends. I think that it depends on the organizational structure. In a very highly strategic PMM team, they might be going above and beyond as it relates to creating that positioning and messaging and really working very closely with a customer education team or any of the other enablement teams to ensure that the narrative doesn't get lost because they're the owners of that storytelling. And then it's up to the customer ed team to ensure that that story, the real narrative doesn't get lost in the materials that end up getting created to educate the audiences.
The storytelling. Yeah, that's great. Okay, next one. Again, lightning round. Audience understanding is an overlap where I'll let you respond to this. I'll just tee it up. And then we've got the notes and you can kind of say, hey, yeah, I agree with this. I don't agree with that. Understanding, what do you think about the overlaps?
Yeah. So, I mean, according to ChatGPT, PMMs conduct market research, analyze customer data, build buyer personas. Yes, accurate.
Yeah.
Customer ed leveraging this information to drive content, to deliver content, right? Yes. However, again, depending on the organization, you may lean more heavily into one area or another. So in my past life at Shopify, I got on customer calls all the time. I wanted to really understand the pain points to ensure that we were creating the right content. Now in my world at Docebo, I have a voice of customer team that's responsible for collecting and analyzing market and customer data to feed into all of the other parts of my team that are creating the content and the messaging. So I think it really just depends on the org.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're talking about adoption and engagement.
I mean,
let's hit on that one. How did that overlap, driving product adoption and engagement with customers?
This is the biggest one. I think this is the one where I'd say there is the most overlap between a PMM role and a customer education role. At the end of the day, it is the responsibility of all of those teams. Any teams that are, under the umbrella of like, ensuring that a customer is extracting value and that cares about things like retention and long-term value, lifetime value, any of those teams are doing this actively, making sure that we're creating the right content, that the resources are available, that it's not only about messaging. It's like, what are all of the things that a customer needs, whether it's in-app or on any of the digital properties that exist to support them, what are all the things they need? And let's make sure that collectively as a team, we're creating those things to support our customers.
Yeah, I dig that. One of the things I've been getting into lately is labs where you can get your hands on and get really integral in the product and not be afraid of screwing up. Things like that are often forgotten about, right? Yep. You go, oh my gosh, now I can do all these different things. I can test it and now I feel more comfortable and I can get a badge. Yeah, that's super important. Next one is, we've already talked about adoption. Now we talk about customer advocacy, feedback. I think you've already said you have the voice of the customer.
Yep.
What are the things in the advocacy and feedback section do we both collaborate on?
Yeah. I mean, the storytelling, again, it's the storytelling element. So identifying the right customers who have those strong stories, the ROI stories, the proof points to share, taking that and embedding it directly into your customer education programs is going to inevitably make them more stronger. How often have you sat through a course where, right, if you're learning from someone who may not have the expertise in doing the thing, they lose a little bit of credibility. But as soon as you bring a customer in to teach the thing, they're actively doing it. They've experienced the results. Right. They know exactly what they're talking about. That lends a tremendous amount of credibility to the content that you're creating. So I see a ton of synergy between advocacy and customer ed.
Yeah. You know, something that comes to mind, I was watching a vendor webinar, and I won't tell whose it was. And you could see the inauthenticity of that presentation because the facilitators clearly didn't know the platform or the product and they couldn't answer questions where I would have said, well, either get a deep, a knowledge expert Or better yet, go get a customer to lead through. Because 100%. Your customer is, I'm advocating for you, and I know my stuff because I use this every single day. Whereas even internally in your company, you might not. That's really powerful, Sam.
For sure. Yeah, that's like one of the things that we always do with our, or try to anyways, with webinars. And even with Inspire coming up, we have our customer conference coming up. Always having a customer to amplify the story and land the story and the narrative that we're trying to share is really important to us. And yeah. Also having a PMM on site, like an ideal webinar in my world is like a product marketer, a customer, and the education person, because then together, yes. All three of them are able to really create a strong story.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I see it happening more these days, and it's really good. All right. Well, you've done the one ask that I said to talk about Docebo Inspire, which is coming up on what dates?
It is September 9th to 11th in Dallas.
Dallas. Yeah. I'll be there. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this will air
with
before
the cowboy
them.
Hat. Yeah. Right. Cowboy hat on.
Got to get a cowboy hat and boots. If you're seeing this after the fact, I know that you'll have content up. And if you haven't, we weren't able to go, but if you are able to go, meet us there. And let's take us out the door. So once again, if you want to learn more, we have a podcast website at customer.education. You can find show notes, all the other thing. We're also part of a new customer education community. And you can contact me and others to get into that. It's a little bit exclusive at the moment. We're opening that up. And you can find us all on LinkedIn. Special thanks to Alan Cota for the music. And if it helped you, make sure you subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating at any of the podcatchers of your choice. Sam, again, moment to talk about anything that you want to before we leave.
Maybe just one quick piece of advice to the audience listening. If anybody is out there struggling with finding another role, so maybe they were laid off or, you know, experienced some sort of challenge and are trying to figure out their next steps, don't second guess your skills in adjacent fields. There is so much opportunity for you to take everything that you've learned in your customer ed role and apply that in other spaces like product marketing, like content marketing, like community and advocacy. There are so many other things out there that would really actually benefit from the experience that you have. And if you want to talk more about that, please reach out to me on LinkedIn. I would be happy to be a resource and help you find some connections in those spaces.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being a really strong leader and a cornerstone partner of our ecosystem, our whole network. We really look up to you, and thanks for all of your time and your thoughts. And yeah, reach out to Sam if you need help. We're all here to help you. That's the point of CLAB. So that's all for today. Thank you so much, Sam. And to all of you out there, thanks once again for joining us. Get out, educate, experiment, explore, find your people. It's a hard job, and we're here to help. Cheers, everybody.